Hey guys, what's up? It's Drew. Are you a student or staff member of a local high school or college? Do you put on a uniform or wear a badge to work? Then Tom and Chi is looking for you. Join Tom and Chi in Granville the first Sunday of every month for the Baker's Dozen Sunday Showdown. Two rival challengers will go face-to-face to tackle 13 grilled cheese donuts in 13 minutes. The winner not only receives a free meal, t-shirt, and bragging rights, but 20% off their entire group orders all month long. Click the Sunday Showdown banner on thecourtofnerds.com for more details. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a very unique episode of Court of Nerds. Normally, the content you're going to hear tonight would be found on one of our, I want to call it side projects, That's So Braven, which Ben uses to focus on wrestling. But we had an opportunity to talk to one of our favorite comic book writers. He's currently on Justice League of America and Supergirl for DC, but he's also a very big fan of something near and dear to our hearts, and that's the WWE. He is DC Comics' Steve Orlando. Steve, thanks for talking wrestling with us tonight.
Yeah, dude, I'm happy to do it.
So, Ben, you're going to drive the bus on this thing, yeah, man. You're absolutely the expert. You're Professor Braven. Let's do this thing, man. Start it off. What do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about that Survivor Series card, because that thing is stacked top to bottom. And just before we called you, Steve, we were talking about how this is probably the card of the year. Like, can WrestleMania top this card? I just kind of wanted to get a feel for you. What are you most looking forward to on Sunday night?
It's interesting. I mean, we've had a couple shows that were like the card of the year, and then they keep topping it. I kind of like wonder why we're giving away WrestleMania quality matches on glorified In Your House pay-per-views and or Raw and SmackDown, besides Braven. But regardless of that, yes, no, absolutely, it's a great card. I'm a Samoa Joe guy, so I can't say that I'm not probably most hyped for the traditional elimination match. Like, I find it adorable how they build this as, like, you know, the one time a year that the brands get together, except, of course, for all the other times.
Yeah, right. Except for Raw lends John Cena to SmackDown, and all of a sudden he's a SmackDown roster.
Yeah, no. That's adorable. But, I feel like I am hyped for that. I'm oddly hyped for Triple H being back. Like, I know that's kind of, like, maybe a marquee thing to say, but I kind of am more, in a weird way, I enjoy his work now that he's old, more than when he was younger. I thought he looked like puffy and weird in like the 2000s, but now he just looks like he's been dried in a smokehouse, and I think he actually looks more intimidating in the ring now than before. I feel the same way about Randy Orton.
I feel the same exact way about Triple H. You know, he's got more of that, like, motorcycle, motorhead vibe he's been going for, like, 20 years now. He's finally got it, I feel like.
Yeah, no, he looks like some of the Sons of Anarchy now, whereas before, like, he just looked like an uncooked chicken breast. That was like. But I'm excited for the chance to see Oscar work with anyone on the SmackDown roster. So I feel like we'll get a lot out of those. We're going down the line here. Like, I'd be remiss not to say that New Day versus Shield couldn't be the best match of the night either.
I know it. I'm really curious. That is a WrestleMania match to me, Shield versus New Day. And they're just kind of last minute throwing it on the Survivor Series card. Where the hell does that fit in?
I mean, I think there's a desperation in the booking of these shows that, yeah, I don't actually really have a great answer for. I mean, if with the Brock matches, because we didn't even talk about Brock AJ.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You know, he's going away. They want to give people as much as they can. Well, maybe going away. They want to give people as much as they can with him. It's just crazy to me, like, you know, I mean, Joe Brock, that's a Mania match, especially if they let it go longer than 6 minutes.
Oh, my God. I know. I'm a Samoa Joe guy myself here. I've been following him since the Ring of Honor days, and I was so hyped up for that match. And then just to see it end with one F5 in the middle of the ring, I was so bummed out. That great balls of fire.
Yeah, I mean, that is a thing. But at the same time, like, I think that shows Joe's skill. Like, he took what was a glorified In Your House and turned it into a marquee thing because he had the charisma to sell a match in a way that other guys who wrestled Brock don't. I mean, you know, I just remember after Joe, like the Ross or Joe lost, he's in the ring there with Roman and Brock, and like he still seems more. I mean, he's got more intensity and still seems more on than Roman is, and that's, you know, that's charisma. Like Roman was an afterthought in that, and Joe just got his ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care.
Exactly.
You know, you didn't. You just wanted to see it again. So I mean, it's funny because on one hand I was like, oh shit, they're blowing off Joe and Brock at his nest. On the other hand, I mean, he made it big because he is that good at selling something.
No, absolutely.
So, I mean, I'm excited for him to be back. I hope they kind of scuttle what looks like a program with Finn, because, you know, to be frank, they both need a win.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I have my own hopes as to what happens in Survivor Series. It's like the roulette of who Trips is going to put over at Mania, and like I really want him to wrestle Joe, so because. It would be great.
Yeah. Ron Monday night kind of made me feel like they were building towards a Triple H Kurt Angle thing towards the future. You know, I mean, he pedigreed his quote mode son, end quote mode, in the middle of the ring. And I don't know. How did you feel? I mean, we go from Jason Jordan on Team Raw to Triple H. That's quite the upgrade.
Well, I mean, so yeah, it's pretty obvious they're building to Trips and Angle. And like, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, you know, I love Kurt, but that said, his Angle Slam looked real shitty on SmackDown. I kind of would, like, it's obvious they're doing that, but I would honestly rather see them both work with some younger guys that can sell for him a little more. I'm not saying that's going to happen. Clearly, it's not going to happen. But, you know, I mean, I actually don't mind Jason Jordan as much, by the way, too. I should say that, but
I agree too. I was personally excited to see him get the chance in a match like that, just because I think he is a fun performer, and he's got this new level of hatred for some reason on Raw. And I just remember watching him in NXT, be like, this guy is charisma. He's got charisma. He's athletic. He flies all over the place. He looks great, but he gets to Raw and they put him in that "I'm your father" storyline, and all of a sudden everybody hates him and nobody cares. And I don't get that.
There's potential if they don't. I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, that's the same gimmick the Rock had until he got over. So I think that it's not like a death knell for him.
No.
If something happens. Like, obviously, the logical booking to me is that he turns on Kurt and they have a nasty feud, and maybe he comes out of that top. But they don't seem to know how to make. I mean, this is like a longer discussion, but it seems to me they don't know how to make new stars. You know, like the story of Raw to me, especially, is like a story of wasted resources and just like wasted potential. I mean, granted, they have a ton of charisma, but the like complete failure of Apollo Crews is stunning to me too, because he's like, you know, he's huge. He can do like a standing moonsault, and yet they just give him that like white bread grinning gimmick that no one gives a shit about, and of course no one cares.
I know there was a period of time there where guys that were money in NXT, they'd come up to the main roster, you'd feel like, oh man, this guy's gonna be great. I never saw a superstar potential in Apollo Crews, but I saw a high mid card type guy to him. But just, I mean, he's basically Titus O'Neil's backup now, which is like the strangest thing in the world to me.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, like, I'm often just like apprehensive when someone leaves from NXT now. Like, after how they arguably kind of already botched Asuka, like, I'm just like, I never want Kairi Sane to go up. I like, there's so many people I just don't want to. Don't want to see them. And the Asuka thing is even more bizarre. Like, I don't know why you make Emma look competitive if you're going to pink slip her literally 4 days later. Like, that is unreal to me. I mean, it should have been a squash anyway, but even beyond that, like...
That was the strangest thing to me. I've been freaking out about the use of Asuka since they brought her up, because I was like, all right, this is one of those things that you should not be able to screw up. But if you screw this up, that's unforgivable, because Asuka is a international superstar in and outside of the ring, and I really hope they let her go Braun Strowman in that women's elimination match and just eat some people up.
Well, she should. I mean, but I don't know. Nothing is... it's so obvious to me that Triple H books NXT and Vince books Raw. Like, just look at what's happened to Nakamura. You know, like,
oh my god,
that just saddens me so badly. Just because, you know, he was almost, you know, he was great in NXT, and he's out here cutting goofy ass promos, wrestling a competitive match against Dolph Ziggler. Like, I don't know, man. At least he went straight for Braun last night, but he did get tossed like a little baby. After.
Everybody gets tossed like a little baby from Braun, though.
Well, Steve, you hit on something interesting there. When did Dolph Ziggler become the welcoming committee in WWE? I mean, it seems like you come up from NXT, you have a garbage rivalry with Ziggler, and then you get buried in the mid-card doing tags with Randy Orton?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, Ziggler himself is a tragedy. That dude, I don't know. They just don't want to pull the trigger on him, which is bizarre to me. I mean, you know, he was the sole... I mean, 3 years ago now, he was the sole survivor, and you know, yeah, he got rescued by Sting, but, like, you could have launched off that. And now, you know, he has a gimmick that is not even a gimmick. It's just saddening when I see him come out, and, like, I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, he sells really well, so I guess it could be that people think that, you know, he just makes the other guy look great, but I guess it depends on the guy. I mean, I find Bobby Roode's feud with him to be a little less aggravating than Nakamura's feud, just because, I don't know, like, Bobby Roode is never, like, a squash guy, because he's a heel champ. He wins by, like, being shitty. Mm-hmm. But, like, those matches with Nakamura should have just been, like, Kinshasa, and now you're decapitated, the end.
Steve, let me hit on, as long as we're talking about squandered potential and again Triple H knowing a bit more about what the fans want than it seems Vince or anyone actually with the last name McMahon comprehends, since Shane doesn't seem to understand no one cares about seeing him wrestle anymore. The UK tournament was such an overwhelming success for the WWE. You had incredible talents come out of it. I mean, at the NXT TakeOver, when the UK Championship match was there, it was the best match of the night, hands down. Mm. I mean, you're a big Pete Dunne guy. What do you think the WWE can do to kind of give these UK guys bigger purpose?
I mean, honestly, they can get rid of the division. I don't mean get rid of it as get rid of the roster, but... Just like I was excited when the cruiserweights came on, but people clearly know that it's a B-level roster and a B-level group, and I feel like the best thing they can do for all of these people is, I mean, keep the belts, but have them be part of the normal roster. I mean, you know, Pete Dunne is a small guy, but he can work his gimmick with anybody, and that he just beats you, you know? Like, I don't know, like, I feel like, it's like in comics, people are so worried about what quote unquote matters. You mm-hmm. know, like Ellsworth's book never as important as a continuity book. And in a way, I feel like that's how the UK Championship and like 205 Live is. Like, I love them, but mainstream fans know that they don't matter. You know, so I feel like, I don't know, like guys like Dunn, guys like Bate have incredible charisma. I would have them in, you know, especially the UK Championship, which doesn't have a weight requirement on it. Yeah. You know, I don't know, like, now we're all worried about, like, is this realistic, quote-unquote, but, you know, Rey Mysterio had a competitive match against The Undertaker, so...
Yeah.
Are we really worried about what's realistic versus what's entertaining?
Exactly.
I mean, clearly not. They keep putting Enzo Amore in matches.
I mean, and on the topic of Shane, too, let me just, like, it's so, like, first of all, like, that truly saddens me. Like, every time he's out there with his pillow punches, like, watching Braun Strowman have to sell for Shane McMahon last night made me want to crash my damn airplane, like, as I was coming back.
Those are the moments that make me embarrassed to be a wrestling fan.
Like, you know, and that's why Brock works the whole Goldberg. Like, that's why he brought Goldberg in, because otherwise it would have been him doing that shit at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, even watching Undertaker sell for Shane McMahon should have caused like a fucking singularity. Like, I can't even. Anyway,
we had the pleasure. We were actually at Hell in a Cell watching Kevin Owens have to work twice as hard as he already works to put that match with Shane over. And I mean, it was a great Hell in a Cell match. But when you're the main event Hell in a Cell, you shouldn't be the third or fourth best match on the card. I mean, that tag team title match in the Hell in a Cell was infinitely better. Are the McMahons ever going to realize Shane can't wrestle?
Well, look, I think he still gets the pop. I don't think it's about if he can wrestle, you know, like, unfortunately, or it would already be over.
Yeah.
Look, that's a different discussion. Can he wrestle? No. But, I mean, is he over? Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair. So,
Yeah, it's the Attitude Era. I mean, Vince McMahon, there was a reason why he was in a shit ton of main events for like 64 months straight, because people like to watch him get beat up.
I mean, but it's strength of how the McMahons are booked that is insane to me. Like, you know, Stephanie McMahon's only wrestled one match at SummerSlam, but she won. You know, like, Shane can somehow hurt The Undertaker. I'm sure if Vince came back, surprised he didn't headbutt Kevin Owens. You know, like... Mm-hmm. At age 70, put him in the figure four or something. That's crazy, but they do get a pop in there, and that's why they keep coming out. I feel like a lot of the problems of wrestling are the problems of comics. Like, I'm not on here talking about comics, but we rely so much on what used to be popular and like nostalgia pops. But like, you have to at some point commit to building the new, like, you know, and like, I only got back into wrestling because I was a huge fan of Sting when I was younger, and I only came back for his match with Triple H. And at the same time, like, well, and first of all, I think he should have won that. But when it came to his match with Seth Rollins, you know, he was giving this interview in Rolling Stone before, and they were like, you know, were you sad that, you know, you haven't been winning a lot, you know, and he said, you know, at this age, like, my job is to put over the next generation. So, no, I'm not sad, you know, someone did that for me, and that's my job now. So, I mean, this whole thing, like, I don't know how we solve it, because on one hand, like, it's like the minute Mania season starts, like, oh, what old guys are going to come back and have another match? But eventually there's got to be one where there is no old guys having a match. Because, like, they're going to die, or they're going to be mad. I mean, like, Trips is going to wrestle until he's 60, because that's what Akira did. But, like, you know, you got to build new stuff, to be frank. So, and you got to do it organically. That's why I'm excited every time new crazy things happen with Braun, because he's actually over. He's not fake Roman over, you know?
Exactly.
And I like... The crowd energy is such a big component of why I like watching wrestling. So, like, to have people come out and work a great match where the crowd is dead, I admit, like, I don't get as excited about it. You know, that I think I understand why Dave Meltzer includes crowd reactions in his overall judgment of the match, because, you know, you feel that energy. Like, I just went back and watched, before Halloween, I watched all the Halloween Havocs, which was
that's awesome.
Challenging. For some of them. But I was watching DDP and Goldberg, and, you know, it's funny, on one hand you see people, William Regal said that recently about the Finn and AJ match, like, oh, there was no story. And he was like, oh, well, you know, sometimes the story is very simple. You know, these two guys are fighting, and they both want to win. And, you know, that Goldberg-DDP match, much like the Omega Okada trio this year, I mean, the whole thing was just built around, can DDP hit the Diamond Cutter? How is he going to do it? You know, but like, the crowd is so hot for that.
Yep.
And because it was a simple story, well told and easily understood, and when he finally does hit it, they explode. Now, I personally think he should have won that. Or if he wasn't going to win it, they shouldn't have beaten Goldberg with a damn cattle prod, but that's a different discussion.
Ugh, we could talk for 3 hours about that.
You know, like, that reaction?
Oh, no.
I feel like there's so much weird buildup, and at the same time, like, you just need simple stories that people are excited for. And I don't know, like, I think you saw that with Braun, and that's why he's gotten so over, because his stories are not complicated. He's big and angry, yeah. You know, and he will do cartoonish levels of violence. And when he does cut a promo, it's goofy as hell, you know, but in a way that it's funny. I just remember whatever he said to Kalisto before their damn dumpster match, where he was like, "This show is garbage, and so are you." And then froze it. Like, you know, it's like the Hulk. He's like the Hulk,
mm-hmm.
and we love the Hulk, but it's not complicated, you know. But to me, like, that's the antithesis of, like, Kane molested Katie Vick 30 years ago.
God,
you know, yeah. I don't know. I'm wondering a little bit, but the point is, since we're talking about Survivor Series, this is a huge card, but at the same time, like, at some point, these cards have to not have Kurt Angle on them and not have Triple H on them. And I don't know. I think the worry is that they've forgotten how to make new angles and new Triple H's, and that's problematic.
Yeah, because the Finns and the Samoa Joes, these are not WWE-made stars. The Nakamuras, these guys were not WWE-made stars. Bobby Roode is 37 years old. This is not a WWE-made star. I mean, who the hell is WWE's last WWE-made star outside of guys like The Shield? I mean, you can't even say that, because Seth and Dean were huge on ROH scene and CZW.
Well, how about a match that nobody's really talking about? The mid-card United States champion versus Intercontinental champion. The Miz versus Baron Corbin. You got two heels. I think Miz is a fantastic wrestler. I think he's great on the mic.
Yes.
I think Baron's garbage.
Yes.
I think...
Steve, what's your thought on some of these? I mean, we talked the 5-on-5. You're talking about the monsters. What about a match like The Miz and Baron Corbin... You know, that would work a little bit better, maybe on a smaller show. But now it's lost as two guys, one who's great on the mic and one who's intimidating in the ring at the very least. But it's not being sold very well.
Well, look, I think the reality of that match is that The Miz is going to wrestle face, even though he's not, because he's a cool heel that people love and people just hate their. You know, he has that Eva Marie, "I'm just bad at wrestling" piece. Even though I don't think he's that bad, I think he's gotten better, at least. But they've cooled him off. Anyway, you're right, it's lost. But I think half the reason it's lost is because they've cooled off Corbin. Like, why blow him getting a clean win on AJ Styles by him then jobbing to Sin Cara, for two...
Twice.
But that said, I think the match could be a sleeper great match. I mean, I expected nothing from the Miz and Ziggler No Mercy match like last year, and it was great.
Oh, yeah.
That actually could end up being great. Do I wish that they had done a title change and maybe Miz was working someone else? Yes, I do. But at the same time, like, he could get something really good out of that, because Miz actually is great at making the other guy look good. And he's not a bad worker. People shit on him, but I mean, he went from being a joke to, I think, quietly being pretty good.
Fundamentally sound in the ring, knows how to sell, knows how to wrap it up, knows how to send it home. I mean, Miz is all around great. And I mean, you could build stars on that guy, because when you give him the mic, he makes people hate him, even if he's a cool heel. Because he's a turd.
Oh, yeah. He polished Cena in those promos before Mania. Like, it was brutal.
Mm-hmm.
God, that was great.
Oh, those were so
those
good.
Those were so good.
No, Miz, no. He's not a full cool heel like Kevin Owens, who I don't think anyone actually dislikes, unless you're in the Still Real to Me crowd. Like, I think he gets legitimate heat every time he mocks Danielson.
Oh yeah.
And he knows how to do it. It's just interesting. Yeah, but I think even that, in the way we were talking about how Joe just, like, some guys just have it, you know. You have the charisma, you don't. Like, Miz looks like a guy you want to punch in the mouth, you know. Like, he's smug, he's got a hot wife, and, you know, dresses like, and you want to hit him, you know, when you see him with his, you know, with his overall demeanor and everything, and like some of that is put on, but some guys just have a punchable face.
Some guys just have a punchable face. That might be my favorite quote from this whole thing so far.
But let's wrap it up with a Soul Survivor prediction from the men's 5-on-5 match. Who wins and who is the man that scores the deciding pinfall? Let's start with you, Steve.
Oh, man. I mean, it would be crazy if Braun was not the Soul Survivor for his team. But against who? I don't know. That's a tougher question. I mean, the cynic in me hopes it's Shane just so he can get another concussion like he did last year.
Oh, that spear was brutal.
Oh, that time that Roman killed Shane. That was my favorite.
Oh, yeah. Remember when he died?
Yeah. Remember that time Shane died?
Yeah, I thought he'd actually die on like television. Like, his eyes were going a different direction. And as to who wins, like, I mean, I want SmackDown to win, but I think Raw's going over. Okay. So.
Yeah, I think Steve, I'm with you. I think Raw goes over because they want Angle to keep the job. They love the Angle Shield angle, for lack of a better word. You know, and I don't think there's any way they're going to let him go this quickly into this GM run unless Stephanie is looking to come back and take over, which would go really poorly for her. I'm with you. I think Braun's the Soul Survivor. I think he pins someone unexpected. I think Shane goes down early. I think it ends up being Cena, and maybe we see Strowman Cena. Mm-hmm. Love the free agent angle there. Make use of that.
How about you, John?
I don't really know. I think it might be Triple H, and he pins Shane.
Yeah. And then
pins
fires,
his brother-in-law.
And then fires Kurt.
And then maybe fires Kurt, yeah, or something.
Now, there are a lot of interference storylines going on. You got KO, Sammy pissed off at SmackDown. You got Jason Jordan pissed off at Raw, Triple H, and probably Kurt Angle. You've got Kane.
Who hates Strowman for some unknown reason.
Cleanly pinning Finn and Seth back-to-back weeks. No, who knows what happens there, but I am picking Shane pins Kurt Angle as the Soul Survivor. I think Jason Jordan interferes and takes out Daddy.
Wow.
I'm going to go off the grid.
I like it. Well, Steve, listen, we hope that you get to enjoy Survivor Series in whatever way you choose. We're going to be having some charcuterie and cheeses because we like to pretend.
Oh, and Moscato.
And Moscato. Yes. Very high class. But again, folks, please support Steve. Go and pick up his books, Justice League of America and Supergirl. And Steve, man, we'd love to catch up with you again and do a WrestleMania podcast, if that's okay.
I'll do it. Let me know. I'm in.
Done.
Yeah. Let's shoot for the stars. Maybe even go for Royal Rumble, too.
Oh, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.